Well, the Federal Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, is planning to bring state and territory energy ministers together through COAG to get to the bottom of what happened in South Australia and to try to prevent it from happening again. Josh Frydenberg joins me now. Mr. Frydenberg, good morning.
Good morning to you,
Matt. So can you tell us, as we heard there, power has been restored to a fair amount of the state. What exactly is the latest?
Well, I spoke to the head of the Australian Energy Market Operator this morning, who confirms to me that 90% of households across South Australia have now got their power back. There's about 80,000 customers who are in the north of Adelaide who do not have power. They will get helicopters in the air above the transmission towers in the north of Adelaide to see where the damage is before they can actually restore power there. There still is very large gusts of wind and, of course, terrible weather conditions across South Australia now coming down to Victoria, which is making that task difficult. But the majority of the work is done, and the two interconnectors which link South Australia to Victoria, the Hayward interconnector and the Murray Link interconnector, are up and running too.
Okay, let's get down to the cause of it. Last night you said there were questions raised from the increasing amount of renewables in South Australia, but then went on to say this was entirely a weather event. So if it was a weather event, what are the questions then around renewables?
Well, let's put it in context here. There was a 1-in-50-year weather event in South Australia, and there was a lightning strike at a power plant. There was also transmission towers that were blown over. This led to an electricity surge across the interconnectors, and as a safety valve, it turns itself off in that event. So that is why we had the situation that we did.
And it wouldn't have mattered what the electricity mix was, would it?
Well, there are a couple of questions there. The head of AEMO tells me that when you lose such a substantial amount of power, it doesn't matter how that power is generated, that is what will occur. The electricity grid will go down. But there is a bigger question for us to say, well, how can we prevent this going forward? Now, when it comes to renewable energy, South Australia gets more of its electricity from renewables than nearly any other state other than Tasmania. They get more than 40% of their supply from primarily wind, but also from solar. Now, there are questions with renewable energy, particularly the fact that it's intermittent, it's not supplied all the time, but also the frequency of which it is supplied and the stability that it brings to the system. Now,
okay, but again, in this case, it wouldn't have made any difference, would it?
Well, in this case, this was a weather event.
Yes.
But the state's pursuing these unrealistic targets, renewable energy targets, and it's not just South Australia. They have a 50% target by 2025. Victoria has a 40% target in the same period, and they're currently only at 12%. And then you go to Queensland, which has a 50% target, and they only currently have around 4%. So these are unrealistic state-based targets, and my job is to try to bring the states to the table with the Commonwealth to see if we can harmonise the system across the board, because it's only really the Commonwealth with its 23.5% target.
But why are they unrealistic?
Because they do bring challenges to the stability of the system, plus they bring higher
costs. But
in this case,
it wouldn't have made any difference.
In this case, this was a weather event. But
sure,
as you saw in South Australia earlier this year, there was real volatility in the prices. There were a number of factors behind that. But this is an issue for the country, energy security. It's fine to have a debate about a lower emissions future, and we're all in favour of that. But the first priority of government must be to keep the lights on.
What this does show, doesn't it, is that there is really a need for a single nationwide energy and climate plan, don't you think? I mean, will this be what the government is looking at as you review your climate policies next year?
Well, absolutely. We want to integrate energy and climate policy, and that's why the Prime Minister has brought the two portfolios together. That is what the COAG energy ministers are striving to achieve. And we will get together, hopefully in the coming days, to work out a better system overall for the country, because what happened in South Australia last night and what has happened previously in South Australia, some of the challenges that are being posed in other states across the grid is not good, and we have to do better, because energy security has to be our fundamental priority.
Whatever the cause, it does show, doesn't it, certainly in this case, that South Australia doesn't have a backup plan. Nick Xenophon, the South Australian senator, says heads should roll. Do you agree with him? Whose fault is it?
Well, I mean, the grandstanding from Nick Xenophon, while people are stuck in their elevators or blackened out in their homes, is very unfortunate, because Nick Xenophon, during the election campaign, was out there stamping his feet, calling for 50% renewable energy target. Now, this is what also the federal Labor Party has signed up to, but neither Bill Shorten nor Nick Xenophon have any plan, any idea how they're going to get anywhere near their 50% target. So, you know, Nick Xenophon speaking up from both sides of his mouth.
Well, it does show that they need a backup plan in South Australia, though, doesn't it?
Well, of course they need a backup plan, and these are some of the hard questions, Michael, that we'll be asking AEMO and the state leaders, because we need to understand how this actually took place. Now, the Prime Minister is very seized of this issue. He's spoken directly with Jay Weatherall. I've spoken with my counterpart, Tom Koutsantonis. This will be raised at both the leaders' level at COAG as well as at our Energy Minister's meeting, because this is a national challenge for us. We have to put aside the partisanship and the ideological approach to emissions reduction that we've seen too often in the past. We have to put a priority on energy security and, dare I say it, energy affordability, because wind and solar is about $100 a megawatt hour to produce, whereas coal is around $50 and gas is around $80.
Okay,
and so there are differences there.
It's a sort of a catch-22, though, isn't it? I mean, with your environment minister's hat on, plenty of people will point to this. Will point to climate change as responsible for this. Has the state ever faced a storm like this before?
Well, this was a 1-in-50-year event. And these were, you know, 80,000 lightning strikes across the state last night, as well as cyclonic winds. Now, we haven't seen a failure across the electricity system as we saw last night in South Australia. That's the information to me from the Australian Energy Market Operator. It's clearly not good enough. We have to strengthen the resilience of our system. It's a united, bipartisan national effort, and I'm very determined to help lead that.
Okay. Josh Frydenberg, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you.
That's the Federal Energy and Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg.